Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Let this one tell that one a tale. The story of great heroes marooned without a sea, stranded in a place of nightmares called Barovia. The antagonist, a creature known as Strahd von Zarovich. As all great epics, someone must die. Either Strahd or our heroes.
Well, perhaps I should check on the rest of the gang.
Yeah, we've been asleep this whole time.
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
I think you would still be... Yeah, you definitely haven't had enough sleep yet, so you weren't awake for that.
Curious to see any kind of information there would have garnered, but I'm thinking...
Come into your dreams.
Too exhausted.
Yeah. In your dreams, a frog being like... Pop, 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 pop.
Hank. Dreams of a little kobold slowly eating its way through a dragon. Nom, 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 nom. Not making that noise as it's eating.
I haven't thought about kobolds in years.
Why now? I'll go knock on the little kind of smuggler's hole that Hector's sleeping in.
Hector, you wake up.
I made omelets.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
That's right. I don't think they're going to taste very good, but I mean, it's something.
It's what that counts. I look down. It's Iona and I guess Iris and Esme?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Iris would be down there with you. Yeah.
And Esme as well?
Esme, you can see, when you look over to her, even in the dim light down here, there's enough light that you can see Esmeralda is lying on her back, staring straight up. It doesn't look like she slept.
Okay. It's not ideal. Right, everybody, it's time to figure out the next move. Help wake them up and help pick up Iris to get out of the little hovel.
As per usual, anytime you... This is unavoidable. Anytime you touch her arms or legs, she makes a shuddered sigh.
I try and make as much of like a nonchalant, like it is nothing. Like I try to avoid the fact that it is what it is.
Yeah.
That noise, try and make it as normal as possible.
Yeah. That noise is kind of assuming you're doing that.
Yeah. I just want to make extra careful, as it were, to make sure that it's like I'm not trying to treat you differently.
Sure.
Gather everyone and serve some omelets.
All right.
Bitter.
Yeah, that's the cheese. No salt.
Right, yes. I understood the sugar thing. Salt, though, I guess I took everything for granted. How did you went to see the
Cavendish,
John, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe, but...
It is okay. Sometimes a broken man stays broken.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Right, well, without Tarpos or our Wizard Supreme or First Barbarian, we seem a bit, I guess, light on people.
Yeah.
So is this everyone gathered at a table sort of thing?
Right. Well, yes, everyone's in this room. Mathilde has found something else for her to do, so she's not really privy properly to this conversation, which I'm assuming is fine for you.
Yeah.
You look around the table. So, all right, just very quickly, so technically the answer to your question is yes. Everyone is physically present. Emotionally, Piran has a 1,000-yard stare, and you can see Esmeralda, anytime someone talks to her, they need to repeat everything twice as she goes, And you can see she's positioned herself so that she has a view through a window up to the top of Mount Gacchus. She seems very focused on that task right now. She hasn't been doing the rock and ball to ball thing, but she's
getting antsy.
It's almost more worrying. She's very still.
Okay,
you've never seen her this still.
Like a spring that's been pushed all the way down.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh boy.
Okay. Right. So Esme.
Yes.
Your mentor. Van Richten?
Rudolf Van Richten.
So he knows of a way to perhaps reverse the hags.
Yes, it is. The process is called the...
desanguination?
Yes, it's called well, for you it would be... Well, yes, yes, yes. It has many names, she says with a gesture of her arm.
Yes, right, so he's a much learned man.
She hasn't stopped looking through the window, but she is responding now. Yes, okay. She's listening.
Yeah, hey, we'll
that's
take
something.
It.
Okay, yeah. So initially I was hoping to leave perhaps Iris with the dwarves. Iona.
I will look after her.
Thank you. I would appreciate it. Consider it my quest for you, is to look after her. The burgomaster that we're assaulting.
Yes.
What have they done? What did they do?
You're asking Iona?
I'm asking the table, I guess.
Well, Piran would probably know a little bit, but he's not responding just yet. Or you can see he's slowly dragging himself into the conversation. Iona responds first. The burgomaster is, I'm sure this has been explained to you already, but there are three powers at play within the city. The princess, the burgomaster, and the sheriff.
Yes.
The sheriff and the princess are in cahoots, you should say. They are not...
Ludmilla and... What would we if we get their names? If we had to...
Sheriff Victor Stroika.
Right, yes. I think Piran, you mentioned Stroika.
Yes. Victor Stroika. He's a bit of a... Kind of like the princess's... whatever her name... her right-hand man, if you will. When she needs... So she prefers to stay to the abattoir. Mm-hmm. Doesn't leave whenever... If she can help it.
Okay.
And the sheriff goes out into town and does her dirty business.
I think Hector is looking for the ends in order to justify the means.
Sure. Well, if you want to... Here, no, it's fine. I'm great at convincing good people to do bad things.
It's not really good when you say that first.
Yeah, he is driven.
If you're trying to manipulate me, you usually say that in your head.
He's playing on hard mode.
No. It's okay. Very easy. So you've been staying here in Pavel's house for a while now.
Correct, yes.
And you've been enjoying the fruits of Pavel's hard work.
Yes, in a way. Sure.
And you're sad. Sorry for Mathilde. Piran gestures to her like she's not in the room. You're sorry for Mathilde and their children.
I'm just like, gotta give him just like the look of like, where is this going, you some bastard?
Piran!
Would you like me to tell you what the burgomaster did to Pavel when he found out he was head of... When he found out, quotation marks, that he was head of the spy ring?
I don't need specifics, Piran. I just need to know... What they have done in broad strokes.
In broad strokes, well, go to any part of town, maybe vagabond excepted, but any part of town, you'll see people avert their gaze. They're averting their gaze because they're under instructions that should people make eye contact, they'll be volunteered to work at the abattoir. People who volunteer to work at the abattoir don't come back.
There are corpses,
living corpses, roaming around the abattoir. Plus that new little experiment that she has going on, which presumably requires human corpses. Plus that witch or whatever, the hag, got her women and little girls somewhere.
Yes, right. So the burgomaster is the one that is providing the...
Corpses.
Citizens.
Oh, yes. Citizens.
People.
Yes.
To Ludmilla and the sheriff.
Yes.
That'll do it. That'll do it. Okay, we take out the burgomaster.
We get arrested.
While we're doing that, you've gathered our arms and our equipment. You meet us on the path. Give us that. You take us. We go up there trying to find Jesse to Esme and Richten. We come back. Well, we're up there. You're going to try to take out the sheriff, yes?
Mm-hmm. Well, I won't try. I know how I'm going to do it.
What happens when the sheriff and the burgomaster are gone? We create a vacuum, right?
Yes.
What happens in the vacuum?
Well, someone will attempt to seize power, but as we established previously, if you're back within, I reckon, about 2 days, if you can keep your little sojourn to that length of time, I think there'll still be enough chaos going on that no one will have assumed power and will only need to take out the princess to decapitate the leadership element in Kuchery, and then we can install whoever we want, or let the people. Piran's eyes glance from you, Hector, to you, Pip. Pip, you've been maybe giving him the, like, come on, the entire time. Yeah. Or we can install, or we can have the people choose someone. I hear Bigfoot Paul is popular.
I'm chopping my neck.
And to be honest, my plan will involve Bigfoot Paul lopping the sheriff's head off anyway, so.
That is something.
He has a bone to pick with the sheriff. And you know how he gets when he has a bone to pick with someone.
Sure do. We do. In 2 days. Well, that's... Esme, how long has...
That's not a hard thing. Could be more, could be less.
Right. Esme, how long has Alan Van Richten been missing for?
Esmeralda, once again, drags herself from the window. At Van Richten's name, you know, she doesn't need any further prodding. She's just, once again, has drifted away. But she comes, snaps back to the table, looks at you. When I got the letter, it was at least a month and a half ago. So at least he has been gone for a month and a half.
Okay. And how many people have that we know of, I guess, Iona, that you know of, who have been sent to the Amber Temple and have come back?
It is a death sentence. No one has come back.
So the odds of us coming back in 2 days, it seems slim.
Piran shrugs and says, I can buy you as much time as I can.
If we are gone longer than we need, is it possible to, well, setting up Bigfoot Paul or, I mean, Iona, the people seem to like you?
Iona nods slowly. I could, but I am... not designed for leadership. I am more of a... I would describe myself as more advisor. I would be confident enough to say at least my skills do not lie in leadership. Right. But Bigfoot Paul is somewhat popular around town and is... I have seen him... I have seen that he has a good heart and maybe bad taste in men.
But somewhat of a good judge of character, I guess.
Okay. That's fair enough. I'll cop it. I'll cop it. Made you omelets, but I'll cop it.
Oh, that's good. That's enough, is it?
Yeah.
Is that your apology?
It's a start.
It is a start. It is a start.
Is it a start?
Baby steps. Baby steps.
Little
baby steps.
Tiny baby steps. He's giving back to the community.
Yeah.
I think baby step is I'll cop it as like a movement in the right direction, but I think baby step is a bit far.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. It's like a baby wiggle.
Maybe like a cough up.
Yeah.
A baby's cough up on someone's back. I reckon.
Okay.
Yeah. Once the two be taken care of, what happens? What will Ludmilla do? Will she care? Or will she kind of keep everything into the abattoir?
Well, that's why taking out the Burgermaster is the best plan. So, taking out the Burgermaster, she won't give a shit about that. The Burgermaster is nominally, technically, an ally, but they actually hate each other. So, killing the Burgermaster means that Ludmilla and the Sheriff will feel somewhat safe, maybe even in their position.
Okay.
Nothing will change with them. I'm pretty confident of that. Okay. As confident enough... Here, let me give you this. Confident enough, not just to risk your lives. Yeah. I know you know I don't care. But my life is also on the line. So there you go.
Okay. All right. We can do that. Right. Okay. Okay. And in the interim, if you could find any information up about that little tinkerer, it would be very useful.
I'll try. Well, once the sheriff's dead, maybe I can rifle through his shit.
Yeah.
Or get Bigfoot Paul.
Yes. Anything really that you can do, arms or information, anything at this point would be useful.
Sure.
If we're assaulting the Burgermaster, what's the best move and when?
So your options are kind of, today would be really good, but I know that's pretty last minute. Oh, by the way, everyone gets the benefit of a long rest.
Oh my God.
Guess who's no longer exhausted?
That's amazing, dude. Long rests feel so fucking good.
I suddenly no longer feel as exhausted as I was.
Omelette's kicking in.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, I guess physically I'm feeling a little better. That is nice.
Yes, today would be a good day to do it. Okay. But in another 2 days, every three or so days, right, the Burgomaster collects kickbacks from local big shots or whatever. Right. That's the best chance to
catch you unawares.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They'll be pretty exposed in Vagabond, provided you can keep a handle on any adventurers. I kind of assumed, since the two of you are nominally, in a way, adventurers, they're your people.
Mm-hmm. I'm insulted by that, but I don't say anything. It's not the time.
They're your people.
I consider myself a step above an adventurer. When an adventurer kills a monster, that's messy. You know? They stick around. I'm in, I'm out.
Yeah.
You're a professional.
I'm a professional.
You don't pay the mercenary to kill the monster. You pay the mercenary to leave.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. And I'm like, I'm not an adventurer. I'm on a holy journey. The divine quest, if you will.
But whatever.
Every adventurer has their thing. yes, anyway, they're your people in a way. So
what would you like? Yes, the Vagabond.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the Burgomaster would be in Vagabond, and adventurers are a chaotic bunch, but I feel confident enough that the two of you will have enough cachet, so shall we will. Or at least Iona can keep people from interfering. There'll certainly be the thinnest amount of security there. Vagabond is typically just the smallest policed place.
Okay. Okay. When was I meant to have another chat with Elainiel?
That would be this morning.
This morning?
Yeah.
What time is it? Have I missed that chat? Am I doing it now? Am I doing it in 5 minutes from now?
You have maybe 10, 15 minutes to go have a chat.
You have the plans for the... If we were to do an assault today, I'm assuming you have got everything figured out?
Oh, yes. So outside the Fine End, just inside Vagabond, the tavern there, the innkeeper, he is one of the people who gives the kickbacks or whatever.
Right, okay.
The Burgomaster will enter the tavern, and then as they're coming out...
Not to interrupt. Look, Pip, you're the tactician. You've led an army. If you wouldn't explain to him...
I've done assassinations.
Yes, and you've done assassinations, but you're not going to be there.
All right.
Okay.
So can you explain it to Pip?
Sure. All right.
I need to have a tree call.
go have your tree call then. Right. Give Elainiel my best.
Will do. Iona, anything to say?
Iona,
pass on a message.
Yes, I suppose. Could you ask if? Could you ask her if? Could you ask her if the needle is still mine?
Needle is still yours, right?
Yes.
And, Pip, would you like to? For keening?
If you can find out what is...
You're a bitch.
Yeah. It's a catty...
Everyone give him sass. Give him sass back.
If you can just find out how he is, that's all I want to know.
I was going to that anyway.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Or no, like, maybe just like, you know, put like a hand on Pip's shoulder. Like, of course, you know.
That is genuine. Like, that is not being rude.
There's
at
no
all.
Cattiness to this.
Yeah. Just right. No cattiness okay. there. That is to Iona cattiness, to Pip, what might appear as cattiness. That was Hector being genuine.
Yeah.
Being very genuine.
I don't think Pip.
No, Pip, yeah. Pip is like cattiness to Iona, cattiness to me.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, of course. I'll go have a tree call.
All right, you go have a tree call. Piran explains the basic principles to you. Well, as a ranged combatant,
right,
we'll catch... So the guards will be probably the first people you'll want to take out. If you can take them out quietly, there'll be two guards. Nothing special. I don't anticipate much problems there.
Sure.
The Burgomaster, after the guards, if you could take them out quietly, after the Burgomaster steps back out, obviously... They'll immediately notice the corpses.
Right.
And that's when you'll want to make your move, I suppose.
Is there a benefit to doing it within the tavern? Away from prying eyes?
Oh, what do you mean?
Killing the Burgomaster. Killing him whilst he's in the tavern.
Well, in the tavern would be more public than outside the tavern.
I see. Okay, fair enough.
There'll be more people in than out.
Understood, understood.
But, I mean, you want a little bit of publicity anyway.
Okay, yeah.
Because you want to get caught.
Yes, yes. You're right. Sorry.
So there'll be two guards immediately there. If you can kill them very quickly, I can send you a message as the Burgomaster's coming out.
Right.
If you think you could be that quick. Once again, these are... They're schmucks. They won't put up much of a fight.
Sure, yeah.
You probably, I guess, don't even need to kill them. But once they're down, make the Burgomaster's death loud enough that the guards at the market can come get to you, arrest you. I suppose if you make it a bit of an act, put up as good a fight as you can.
Oh, yes, of course.
But yeah, that should
basically be it.
Sorry, I don't think I specifically mentioned this, but you can get on top of the tavern very easily.
Right.
I would start there.
Yes, I was going to say being on the rooftops is probably the move. Okay, well, I'll be on top of the tavern, and I suppose Hector and Esme stay in the shadows or somewhere nearby amongst the people of Vagabond, and then when shit hits the fan, we put up a fight, and then when the time comes, we stop.
The Burgomaster and her guards won't be on guard. They're not expecting trouble because, as far as they're aware, there's not been a sudden influx of new adventurers to Kuchery, which I have been very carefully cultivating.
Right.
They're aware, obviously, of the you lot.
Yes, yes.
But they're not aware that there are a bunch of other new adventures that have slowly been trickling in. I've been hiding their presence because when there are a surplus of new adventurers, people get a little bit antsy around
here.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I've been hiding that so that they're kind of assuming that everyone here has been browbeaten into submission.
Okay, so they won't be expecting it.
Yes.
You're saying, yes.
They should be lax.
All right. Well, I think they should be... I mean, it's dangerous to say this, but pretty cut and dry.
Oh, yes. Look, I'm superstitious, and even I'm saying it's kind of in the back.
Okay.
Hector, you put your hand up against the tree. You feel, as always, you feel like a hand on the other side of the bark, and you are in communion with Elainiel.
Elainiel, are you there?
Yes. We have made it to Valakai.
Yeah, what is the situation? Is it as dire as we think?
It is very dire. Keening has a plan, but it won't be easy.
Is he doing okay?
There's something I must tell you.
What is it?
Yenda, she's dead.
I suspected as much. I'm very sorry to hear that. Is any of her possessions, does Keening still have them?
We recovered everything on her body, save for one thing. Her chest.
Yes, of course.
Uh-oh.
We believe a Gogash killed her himself.
He probably has the chest. It would explain many things. Okay, fuck.
Fuck.
I'm sorry. I understand that this is pretty devastating for your faith, she says. You can tell she's trying to be as delicate as possible because Yenda's dead and she had nothing against Yenda. She's a little sad that Yenda's dead.
Yeah, but it's like,
religion. Yeah. The God you believe in.
Yeah.
But you can tell she's genuinely trying to be respectful.
If there was a very powerful artifact in that chest. Did you recover a key?
To the chest?
Yeah, on her body, or was that also
No,
gone?
There was no key on her body.
So they can... Well, if they open up, that is good.
Yeah. That might solve a lot of our problems.
Okay. What is his plan? What is his plan?
Keening believes that he can...
Hang on a second. Can I listen out to see if someone is listening in?
That would be paying less attention to this conversation.
That's why I was like,
is that okay?
I was going to say, hang on. Can you just hang on a minute to her so she doesn't...
Oh, you're saying that to her. I thought you were saying that to me.
Yeah. Mm.
You can give it a red hot go.
Yeah, who's this alabaster motherfucker? Let's catch him while it's happening.
All right. Elainiel, you sense annoyance on her end.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't really understand what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you, nonetheless, withdraw from her a little bit and reach out for something else, if you will, on the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And you detect it. You detect another presence that was wiretapping, listening into your conversation. You get the brief impression of a strong powerful, muscular body.
What the fuck? There's a hunk on the other line.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful, flowing, golden hair uh-huh. and deep blue eyes, like the regular sort of eyes, but like with a deep blue color to them.
Uh-huh.
You are for a second lost in the eyes.
Whoa.
For a brief second, which maybe feels like a second, but maybe it was actually a minute. You're staring into those eyes and the breath leaves you. You are captivated by this thing, its beauty. Ooh. And then it withdraws.
What the fuck?
Huh. So it was a hunk, golden hair, deep blue eyes, alabaster skin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that ringing any bells to Hector? Because they're even them.
No, me neither. I got no idea.
Well, like I said, you're not... It's difficult to explain this to you because you're not actually seeing
it's
a
like
figure.
Impression, right?
Yeah, you're getting. Yeah, it feels like it feels like you've seen the creature
mm-hmm.
and then it's gone, and you're okay. recalling. You're making a list of
gotcha.
Its attributes. That's what's happened to you.
Do I get like humanoid? Like figure, or is it like human? Elf,
you don't think it's human.
Something. Okay.
You don't know if humanoid, but mm-hmm. you don't think it's human. So the best you're racking your brain for this description. I mean, obviously, angels, mm-hmm. Deva, mm-hmm. Azamar. Mm-hmm. Those are all options.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it's something. It feels celestial.
Okay.
It feels
weird.
A powerful, good entity.
Oh, so it feels good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. I've always been assuming it's
I assumed
very
as well,
evil.
Like we may be something
I
bad
think it,
here.
I think literally this occasion, when you were staring into its eyes, captivated by its beauty, you got a feeling of literally Celestia, the plane, the good aligned plane.
Okay, because I was like,
Dickens?
Yeah. I was like, so it's not fake. Because I was like, maybe it's just a fae thing.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
it's something to do with, like, you know, Tarpos.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily count out fae, and some fae are from Celestia. So.
Okay.
Weird.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And they've gone. They have now.
They when you looked at them once again, you probably got a long time to look at each other, like maybe a full minute, and then it withdrew. But for you, it went like a second.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Sorry.
Elenial also seems a bit stunned.
Right. So did you see that?
Yes.
You did see that?
Yes.
So I was getting. All right. Okay. I've been getting that every time we've been.
Yes. You mentioned that someone was listening.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay.
Whatever it is, I think it might be an angel, she says.
I'm so biting my tongue. Because I'm like, oh, now you
oh,
believe.
Now
oh,
it's an
now
angel.
It's an angel.
That's not one of her
it's
angels.
It's not one of your angels. But, I thought it might. But yes, and some sort of angel would match that. You said Keening had a plan.
Yes. He... She shakes like the fog out of her head. He is planning to break the spell, the Burgomaster Valakai. There is a spell keeping Father. She's about to say it, and then she stops herself. Once again, you get the impression she's stopping herself because she knows you're going to stop her, not because she believes that anything bad's going to happen. The Burgomaster has some spell keeping it here. Keening thinks he might have a way of burning the spell away.
But if he burns the spell away, then it doesn't keep it there.
He believes that it might fall or it might loosen it enough that he can then also reseal it. But he's still working on that part of the plan.
Okay.
There's not a lot of library research we can do here, so we're limited.
Yes, maybe I'll ask people, Esme, about something they might know. I think Esme knows a little bit more.
If nothing else, Keening did say that if you're able to figure something out at the Amber Temple, you should notify us immediately.
Of course.
That is where it broke out of. She sounds like she's repeating something someone else said.
Do you know when?
I think it was literally when the Burgomaster cast his spell.
Did that coincide with anything when we were in Kutcheri or when we were near the Amber Temple, if anything happened weirdly?
No, you didn't notice anything happen.
Interesting.
Well, you also, no one knows exactly when it happened.
Yeah, sure.
You don't have watches to be able to check.
Well, of course.
You could be like, oh, it happened roughly this night, but there's no big event.
When that old man died. he was the vessel. He was keeping it all together.
That time that Piran winked at you and said, I'm Father
Lennox. I knew it was him all along.
That makes sense.
That makes sense now. All the puzzles are all coming to pieces. Right. Yes. Okay. Right. Right, we will do our best. We're hoping to get to the Amber Temple tomorrow. I might be able to commune with you then tomorrow morning, but perhaps the morning after, depending on how things go.
Right.
One last thing. I have a message from Iona. She would like to know if the needle is still hers.
A massive explosion of emotions. Elainiel feels in rapid order. She feels terror. She feels joy. She feels a deep burning love. And then it flashes between terror and love a bunch of times until she's able to control herself. Tell her the needle is still hers if the needle is still hers if she doesn't mind its sting.
Of course.
Poor Hector. Just a fucking go-between of everybody's drama.
I did ask.
Last time, fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was on them. This time you've brought it on yourself.
That's true. I did ask. But now I'm in between this and I'm like, what a mess. Yeah. I can't ever just be. Just
no one could be direct, dude.
Quite. Of course. I will pass that on.
Keening has something he wishes to pass on to... Yes, Cribbiton, I'll get to you. Keening has something he wishes to pass on to Pip.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
Well, just a question, I suppose. You might be able to answer it. Keening's just asking, is Pip okay?
Yes, he's okay.
All right. I think that's enough. I don't know. He's not here right now.
Cribbit?
Cribbit wants to know what the weather, but the weather mood... has been like.
Yes, he wants the vibe check. The mood, the weather, I guess, has been matching the mood in that it has been very dreary and miserable, and that I believe the horizon is a deep reflection of what is happening within the people of Kutcheri, and that the lightning that is striking is splintering the sky. Like how there is a splintering between the party. Will this suffice?
I'll give him the spark notes, says.
Okay. I think he'd probably like the... All right.
Well, you know what? Hang on. You feel her retract and then a wet... a wet little...
Feel the wet.
That's always lovely.
Hello.
Hello, Cribbit. Nice. Right, well, I...
You repeat it again for him.
Exact same thing.
You get the impression that Cribbit has his book pressed up against his chest, and he's using his arm to pin it there and writing down with one hand while he's got the other hand up against the tree. This is good.
Yes,
now, please tell this one what that one would say... Bigfoot Paul's eyes are like.
Bigfoot Paul's eyes.
Do they burn with the love of a spurned man?
So they are Bigfoot eyes. Kind eyes, but have been scarred by
kind eyes,
but have been scarred by the hurt of a former lover.
And is there any description for Pip and Bigfoot Paul's relationship? Yeah. Any word that rhymes with marred?
As you are well aware, their relationship is extremely complicated. Rhymes with marred. Let us see here. Marred,
hard.
Scarred, hard.
Yeah, starred.
Hard. Yes, starred. Could be starred cross.
Can that one put Pip on?
Probably not right now.
Okay.
But anything you'd like to ask, clarify, I will happily tell you the truth here. I want to embellish anything and Cribbit, just really give him the
the drama that he wants.
Cribbit asks questions until the spell ends.
Does it just cut out?
Anything where there's like, and then the action between, like, you know, the fight between, I'm like, oh, it was tense. You would not believe the whole idea, this soliloquy by.
He doesn't ask much about the fights, kind of actually. He asks more about the interpersonal relationship.
To describe the fight as this like kind of dramatic thing, and then like smash cut to big football drowning me.
Yeah.
And so just really, really embellish the. Really giving what Cribbit wants.
That's right. Nice of you.
A performance.
You know what? I'll make that a performance check. Sure. Cribbit keeps asking you the same question again and again and again. Mm. Not literally one question until the spell ends, but you feel like...
He's driving at something?
He's not getting what I want.
Yeah, he's not getting what he wants.
Okay.
But eventually the spell ends and Cribbit will have to make do with what he's got.
I'll reflect on my answers and have a think about what it is that maybe Cribbit wants.
Sure.
Anything.
Hector's out there for a while.
Anything to distract myself.
I do like, the dishes.
Look out the window, see Hector with his hand on a tree, just like gesturing a lot.
He's like, is he miming Bigfoot Paul?
Do I see? Is it
like a big stomping? Like, absolutely.
What the fuck?
You definitely see at one point he's miming you having your head dunked in the river.
I'm embarrassed.
He's like, please, and he yelled to the skies, please, Bigfoot Paul, I love you with every.
If you would
please forgive me, I'm trying to be a better man.
I don't think I said that either.
Paul, if he forgave him and they made out.
No, he did.
While that's happening, Iona gathers Iris up, picks her up. She whimpers softly. But as Iona picks her up, she begins singing a calming tune. And Iris, she still seems a bit upset, but she's now listening to the song rather than thinking about what's really happening. The two of them and Piran make their way into town. Piran, before he leaves, says... at about just past midday, pointing up where the sun is, just past midday, if you could make your way. We're doing it today?
I think that's the plan.
All right. So just past midday, meet me at a fine end.
Okay.
Well, before they leave, I'd like to tell Iona that the needle is hers. If you do not mind this sting.
First off, you would need to take your hand off the tree. As you're taking your hand off the tree, you hear a Cribbit, no, and then the connection's gone.
Sorry, Cribbit.
You go over to Iona.
Yes.
And you tell her that.
She said the needle is still yours if you do not mind this sting. I'm sure this means something.
Iona nods slowly. She has a bit of a smile. She seems pretty satisfied with that answer.
Okay. Is Esme with them as well?
Esmeralda? No, she's still inside.
Right. I see you're taking Iris. Look, hopefully we will be back. Have you heard of this desanguination before?
From the lack of a description, I think I know this. There is a song, a tale, an old fable about this process.
Right. If we are gone longer than, I don't know.
2 days, she says.
I was going to say a week.
Longer than a week?
Perhaps whatever you need. Maybe it's best to grab Esme here for a second. hang on.
You go get Esmeralda.
Yep.
You maybe just call inside. The door's open.
Like, Esme, do you mind?
They were born in a barn.
Yeah. Esme, do you mind hanging out here for 1 minute?
Esmeralda steps out. She's in the, once again, I don't know if you remember, but her leg is still in the abattoir. Yeah. So she's got crutches that she's using.
If we aren't back in a week, say, and they need to do anything with the ritual, can they do it without me?
I would say that it would be possible, but at the very least, we should take some blood from you now.
Okay. Well, why don't, when is it all?
Some blood.
I'm in the doorway.
Yeah.
I don't know why everybody's outside.
Yeah.
Some blood is not the amount you want, but some blood at least might be better than none.
Okay.
Well, would you be comfortable taking enough blood that you would become dizzy?
Yes, of course.
She puts up a hand. Many people do not know or do not understand how blood science works, so I will explain to you the dizziness will be temporary, but you will be dizzy for some time, at least a day.
Like this spell dizziness.
Yeah.
I understand.
Maybe there's like a child's spell, like a hex dizziness.
Yeah, like like a lighter version of confusion?
Something like this, yes.
Weird. A lot of this is just bouncing off Hector, you're skipping off that brain of
his. Esmeralda's describing something basically akin to our type of modern medicine.
Yeah, exactly.
So that would be like you, Zammit, trying to understand how the spell magic missile works.
Yeah.
Of course, yes. It is like, like you get a smooth barrel or you core it around and you put a bullet in there.
Yeah. Esmeralda's nodding.
And that's how you get a magic missile.
Pip, you don't know exactly how this process works, but you know enough to know that Esmeralda is just nodding along Hector's as close as he's going to get to understand.
Like, very much like, okay, and so the spell that you cast, you know, I'm getting a needle and I'm just into your vein, and veins are...
You know the blue lines on your arm?
Where the magic, of course.
Yes, where the magic is.
ASMR don't have that. They got one tube that goes to every limb, and it just pumps the blood in, and it fills up their hands and feet.
Like a balloon. Yeah.
I'm aware of balloons. Okay, cool. Okay, and what time is it now?
It's morning. Roughly. Yeah.
So we need to do the... Midday, you say?
Yes, midday. Okay, that's when he's going
to
be there.
Do you need to explain it to Iona at all?
Explain what, sorry, to Iona?
Well, if we're not here.
What the process is.
Esmeralda turns to Iona and says, I could write it out for you. And she shakes her head and says, no, I am aware of the, I know the song. And Esmeralda, Esmeralda and Iona have a moment where Esmeralda's like, it's not a song. And Iona's like, but I know it in a song. And then Esmeralda's like, say it to me. And Iona sings the song. And Esmeralda begrudgingly is forced to admit that the song does tell you how to do the procedure.
Okay. Right. Has Iris, they still a bit catatonic? Cause they're sort of coming back into speaking.
No, because the song has ended. I see what you mean.
Just in general.
Yeah, she is just quietly listening. You can see that. What is your insight? Why didn't you put points into that? Hector!
Come on, buddy.
She's just quietly listening.
Right. What I think it is of purview of like to be like to comfort them to be like, all right, we're going to go away and we're going to try and help you out and we're going to try and do this. But in case it doesn't happen, we're, you know, having this thing here and then like basically in case of emergency, break glass. And this is the glass to break. Is that worth explaining to this person to be like, look, everything we're trying to do here, you're in good hands. Like, have they formed a connection or an attachment to any of us, or are they formed, like, is it very catatonic, or are they just kind of like, is it worth being like, hey, it's going to be okay, or hey, it's going to be okay because we're doing this?
She seems very calm around Iona, so it might be enough just that Iona's there. You also know that, like I said, she's been listening to this conversation, so she's kind of aware of the plan.
All right, so it might be...
But no one has spoken directly to her, so she might... appreciate that.
Okay, cool. Well, if that's the case, then I would like, you know, kneel down. Oh, no, she's pretty tall, huh?
Yeah, she's
probably I don't think she's as tall as you, Hector, but she's not.
That's crazy.
That's
you're
shorter.
Like 6 foot something, you know?
Way taller than I thought you were. She's a bit shorter than you, but she's like an average, almost an average human's height.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, yeah, it would be kind of, you know, trying to get down to her level, but if that's like awkwardly squatting, then no. Just like, Iris, I don't know if you are aware or not. What we're planning on doing is heading where me and Esme and Pip here, we're heading up to the a temple of sorts to find Esme's friend, and he will know how to reverse what has been done to you, and we would hopefully return very soon. If we have not returned within a week, we're going to do something now that a vial of, apparently they need my blood, and they're going to...
Esmeralda says this mostly under her breath, but she says, we will need more than a vial.
A vial of my blood.
She's not really interjecting into the conversation, just kind of saying almost to herself.
Once again, bouncing off my head. Yeah, I'm like,
sure, she's...
A vial is a vial. If we're gone longer than a week, Iona here, you, and she will
perform this spell to help cure you. I hope to see you very shortly, but in case I don't, good luck. Iona will look after you.
Iris gives a little, like, kind of sniffling through some tears, and then with the very gingerly, with the back of her long, kind of gross arms, she rubs a tear from her eye.
Would it be too forward to wipe the tear away off, like, her own, like, me doing that? Or, like, is she going
to recoil? She's already going for it when you might think to do it.
Okay, no worries. Right. Well, I can put hand on, like, if I go to put a hand on her shoulder, like a comforting hand on her shoulder. Like,
that'll be fine, yeah.
Yeah, she's not going to, like, recoil or whatever like that. So it is a...
Her shoulders are normal.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Yeah. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So, yes, good luck. And so this is, yes, Iona, and she's going to be looking after you, okay?
As you put your hand on Iris's shoulder, the sleeve of her shirt pinches up a little bit underneath your hand, and you see, you can make out clearly, the effect, the strange effect that is on her arms. You can see that it has progressed a little bit further up her arm.
That's unfortunate.
I don't make a change in my face, or I try to.
Yeah.
Good luck, and see you soon.
She nods slowly.
Iona, you're taking her to... You're on your way to...
I was just going to take her to... there are places around town where one can be somewhat private, but they are pleasant.
Good.
I think a garden with a little pond and some ducks would be nice.
I think that would be great.
Is Iris in earshot?
She's in Iona's arms.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Right. Will we be seeing you before we leave?
That's to Iona?
Yes.
I had no plans as you were planning to attack the Burgermaster. I had no plans to see you, but I could arrange it if you wanted.
No, I'm sure if I need anything, Piran can get a message to you.
She looks over at Piran. Piran has been kind of standing here, just patiently waiting, not really engaged in the conversation. And Piran looks over at her. They exchange a glance, and everyone can see that they still don't like each other, but there's a truce.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
Great to hear. Okay, well, enjoy the pond, enjoy the ducks. We'll see you in a couple of days.
Hey there, fellow adventurer. If you're picking up what we're putting down and want more D&D content, we have just what you need to scratch that itch. D&D is for Nerds Plus, the symbol, not the word, where you can listen to select campaigns that were once only available to SansPants Plus members. The further adventures of the Grey Hill Free Company if you want shorter campaigns with beautiful guests, and D&D is for Nerds, not Ognot, where all our non-canon D&D adventures go to rest. Just search for D&D is for Nerds on your favorite podcast app of choice and join us on this epic quest of D&D podcast discovery.